Well, thank you, Peter, for the nice introduction, and welcome to this symposium about Bayesian statistics. The use of Bayesian statistics has exploded in many areas of science, especially for the last 5-10 years. And unfortunately, here in agronomy, it's still in infancy. I came to Bayesian statistics probably about 7 years ago. I was working with a group of statisticians from Iowa State University, Petruza Karacha and Mark Kaiser. We were trying to employ some of the spatial model to solve some of the problems in precision agriculture. And a lot of time we got some problems, especially with estimating some of the parameters, because we either didn't have had some missing data, or we couldn't translate our model to larger scale. There was another problem that a lot of time we couldn't really know how to extrapolate our data or analysis and results to farmers. So the basic of Bayesian statistic or estimate Bayesian statistic is in this so-called conditional probability. Assume you have a process of interest and you have some parameter, which are theta, and you have a observed data, x, that's a data in hand. So the key in conditional probability is to combine the prior, and the prior to your belief before you look at the data, combining prior and your likelihood, and you receive the probability of parameters given the data in hand. So it has very simple and intuitive logic. Of course, there is another piece which is called marginal probability, but usually we ignore it. It's a constant. There is a lot of interest and sometimes confusion. What does it mean, combining prior and the likelihood of data model? There are several online calculators or apps. And this is one of them from Iowa State, developed by Jeremy Niani a couple of years ago. Assume I have my data, and my data are in green color. It's my likelihood model. It's centered on one. And assume my prior, my belief, before I look at the data, is centered on zero. It's kind of the low, wide distribution. So the posterior, which is combination of prior and the data, it's actually right here. It's a combination, it's an alternative, it's a combination of these two. And in this case, we use the normal mean and normal prior in both situations. Of course, it's affected by amount of data, but essentially, that's the logic how you combine prior and data to get your posterior. The key to, especially to hierarchical models, and hierarchical models are a special case of mixed effect models, it's an idea of exchangeability. So if you have a number of random variables, and you can exchange them before you look at these variables, then you can develop the so-called conditional independence. So if your random variables is invariant to permutation, you can extend this idea and develop this conditional independence. The exchangeability actually in Bayesian statistic, it's much weaker assumption than IID. By default, IID means exchangeability. And here's the example of these hierarchical models, very simple models. So assuming again, I have my process of interest, my parameters theta, and I have a couple of them, many of them. So I can assume exchangeability, or usually exchangeability, and develop my conditional independence. And then I can also develop another conditional independence, or another layer, or another hierarchy, to my parameter, another parameter. And in the last stage for hierarchical models, we can put priors on our parameter. And what's unique about hierarchical models is that the priors are derived from data, like in this case. This is a very simple case. Of course, you can extend this idea. You can put your covariates. You can put your covariance matrix. So you can extend this idea. And again, the core is that it's an assumption of this conditional independence where you can establish this conditional distribution and estimate these distributions. The example I want to present here is from a study we published 4 years ago, which in some sense for Bayesian is very old because a lot of tools and techniques in Bayesian were developing quickly. So this is the paper we published in the Agronomy Journal 4 years ago, 5 years ago. So the idea is was that we had on-farm trials, on-farm studies in Iowa in 2 years. Each of these studies had two nitrogen rates, normal, for corn after soybean was around 140 kilo per hectare. For corn after corn was slightly higher, 200. So essentially each of these farmers had its own normal rate, and then the alternative treatment was the reduced rate by one-third. In this case, we utilized spatial data. These trials were replicated at least three, four, five more times. We had about 40 of them. In this case, we utilized yield monitor data. We aggregated this yield data at 35 meters cells, and then we estimated yield difference. So we work with yield differences and not yield by itself. The question what farmers asked was when and where they can reduce the common normal nitrogen rate by one-third. Plus, they want to know the risk. So if you read carefully what it means about interactions. Plus, they want to know the risk, how often and where they can reduce this normal nitrogen rate. So this is the simple case of this simple description of this hierarchical model. Here I have my variables, which is yield differences. Those are kind of spatial. But again, knowing before, I can assume these conditional independence. So each of these fields has a different number of observations, yield differences. And then we can model these mean fields as conditional distributions given some means and variances. That's a first state or data model part. As the first state of field level process model, we then can model those field means and field variance again as conditional independence. And finally, we put our priors in the final model, the original process model, across all of this field, and we put our priors. So our priors were a normal priors for mean, for all of these means, and a gamma priors for variances within field variance and across field variances. One of the important parts here that these priors are so-called conjugate priors, so we give them a wide range of variability so we can handle both within field and across field variability at the same time. And this is what we get. Unfortunately, no p-value, no letters, as Peter mentioned, in this analysis. But essentially, these are so-called posterior parameters. These are regional yield loss means for corn after corn and corn after soybean in 2007 year. So for example, on average, we lost about 0.6 megagram grain if we reduce normal nitrogen rates for corn after corn and 0.8 for corn after soybean. We can also derive our credible intervals, which is in this case 90% credible intervals. We can also can talk about the regional precision. And in Bayesian statistic, precision is the inverse of variance. Essentially, it's a 1 divided by variance. Essentially, the higher the precision, the lower the variance, the lower the noise. So in this case, for example, we saw a higher noise across corn after soybean trials, but the lower noise and the higher noise within the trials. Of course, for farmers, for us as scientists, it's cool, all these intervals, but for farmers, it doesn't mean a lot. And there is something else in Bayesian statistics which is very useful. It's the idea of posterior predictive distributions. So essentially, the posterior predictive distribution, it's a distribution of new data given your data observed. So what we do, and of course, don't be scared by this integral. A lot of students in stat department are cracking this interval, but for us agronomists, it's not big deal. Software does it for us. But essentially, we plug this conditional probability from previous equations, and then we put our new data model, and then we put prior, and here is. It's a probability of new data given the observed data. Essentially, it's kind of like a regression line. It's often used in Bayesian statistics because it allows us to gauge how our model it is. If our predicted probabilities or data are outside our range, there is something wrong with either prior or the data model. So, So something like that. But it's very useful tool because it can allow us to make this prediction or risk estimate for farmers. So here is this example. We have this yield loss. These are posterior predicted distribution of yield loss. This is the whole range. So if you reduce nitrogen rate by one-third, we can actually lose about two megagram per hectare, or maybe even gain some small amount. But it's kind of noise. So this is for 2007, the larger loss. 2006, the smaller loss. And you can see these two distribution have a wide gap, which is good. Essentially tells that these years are different. But also we can put some economics here. We can say, okay, this is the threshold, economic threshold, which requires us to pay for the for the reduced fertilizer. So essentially everything above this is economic loss. So what it means that for corn after for 2006, the average economic loss, the risk of average economic loss was about 55%. For 2007, it was a relatively wet year. The risk of economic loss was 80%. And again, this allows us to communicate this result to farmers much easier than using any type of ladder, p-value, or whatever, or R-square. Of course, we can go through a lot of different variables and look at different interactions. And this is the example for 2006, relatively dry year. We look at the effect of the June rainfall. Some fields had less than 70 millimeters rainfall, some had more. And again, we can calculate this risk probability too as well. This is 2000. This is the effect of citrus application. You notice that citrus application had slightly larger risk of N loss for risk of yield loss because it was relatively dry. So citrus didn't really work in relatively dry year. We can do the same for a relatively wet year, 2007. And again, you notice that all these distributions are shifted to the right, which means we have large losses of yield if you reduce nitrogen rate, which makes sense. But look at this, that even with large losses, the effect of rainfall here was not very, very big because the economics was almost the same. It's a big loss. Of course, we can look at the organic matter, some spatial variability, and in this case, fields with large organic matter had lower loss. So we can go through a lot of these variables one at a time, develop different categories, and develop this decision tree. We can develop these risk probabilities of yield loss for relatively dry May, June, wet spring, and so on. So for example, in the end, we can look if there is a big difference between these probabilities, it means that, yep, economically and statistically, there is a sense to decrease your nitrogen rate by one-third. So in the end, I would encourage you to do Bayesian for different reasons. One, it allows us to incorporate this prior knowledge and analysis, and a lot of time it allows us to think about the process. Of course, this may be a problem, but the largest problem in Bayesian statistics is actually time, computing time. Another advantage that has a very coherent logic. Everything is based on your observed data. So all analysis are conditioned on your sample. Another advantage, then you can play with a lot of limited, unbalanced, and messy data. So there is a lot of flexibility in data. And finally, it has a very unique and direct connection to decision making. It allows you to make probabilistic predictions about risk, and that's what farmers usually want to know. So finally, go Bayesian. We have about 40.